Aloha! Welcome to Face, a radio ministry from Kalihi Union Church, where we are committed to loving God, loving people.
I want to know you face to face, kneel at the throne of grace, for grace is making my heart brand new. Fill me with love and truth till I finally see you.
There is nothing more beautiful that I know than when God's people gather and we focus on Christ and His Spirit comes and moves in our midst. And what a privilege it is to be together today. We are in a series on seeing the beauty of the Lord, and we see the beauty in the faces of each other. And last week we talked about seeing the beauty in the face of God. And what a privilege that He comes and He wants to personally draw close to each one of us, that we can reflect His beauty. And part of the way that we reflect His beauty is when we worship. Because God comes and He glorifies Himself in our midst, and then His glory rests on us and we give it back to Him in worship. Today we're specifically looking at the beauty of holiness in Psalm 96. So turn with me, please, to Psalm 96. And this was planned a long time ago, this series. And when I was studying and reading the news at the same time, I thought, oh, Lord, come and help us. And the news in California is they're pushing, they're legislating that churches are not to sing, that they are not to chant. And we've had a lot of dialogue way back even in May. There was a discussion between some of our churches on the mainland, the large churches, on whether churches should sing or not. And today you'll see in this passage, God addresses this very clearly to our hearts. So open your hearts, open your minds, that the Word of God would speak into us and would encourage us. Always linked together is holiness, which leads to worship, which leads to praise of God's people. So Father, come, speak to us through your Word. Lord, open our hearts, open our mouths, that you would be exalted in all that we do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Psalm 96, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, can we say it together? The Lord reigns. One more time. The Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for He comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His truth. Amen. When we look at the coming of Jesus that is proclaimed and the judgment of Jesus that is proclaimed, it begins with our hearts in our worship. And it begins with how we worship him. And he inhabits, he delights in his people as we worship and we come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness or in the splendor of holiness. And here we see right off the bat in Psalm 96, the beauty of singing. Sing to the Lord. That's a command, a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. We have to sing a new song because we have so much more to sing about. The old songs are great. I love the old songs. Holy, holy, holy. We love the old songs, but there are new songs because God is constantly doing a new thing before his people and in his people and through his people. There's always new mercy, and there are always new testimonies, and there are always new stories of what the Holy Spirit is doing and creating in our midst and before us. So the old is wonderful, but we need to be singing new songs to him because he is a God who is vibrant and creative before him. All the time, there is this freshness and this glory. You're going to see throughout Scripture constantly references to singing. It is the one thing that distinguishes the Christian faith and the Christian practice from all other religions in a point of degree. If you look in the Quran, you will not find commands and calls to sing. It doesn't tell you to rejoice in the presence of God. It doesn't tell you to take your emotion and to pour it out in praise to him. But Scripture, you're going to find hundreds of times commands us to sing, refers to singing as an appropriate response to our God, as the core and the heartbeat of our worship. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Holiness always leads to worship and awe. And worship and awe always sings to expressions of song and of praise and of thanks to him. So we sing to express our faith and our love to the Lord. If you go backward a psalm from Psalm 96, you hit Psalm 95. Come, God's invitation. Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Now, as Christians, we say over and over and over that Scripture is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. That is the doctrine of our church that we have preached for millennia. The authority of the Word of God in all matters of faith and of practice. And Satan is going for the very jugular of the church. Don't be surprised. He not only wants to close churches, he not only wants to shut down worship, he not only wants to keep people from gathering and being together, he wants to rip out the very vocal cords of praise that belong to God. But Scripture, not once, not twice, hundreds of times and multiple times just in these few songs, has this invitation from God to us to come and to sing. Who would have ever thought that there would be a hesitancy from the pulpit to talk about the joy and the beauty of singing? And in you, some of you, you're feeling uneasy right now. Because there's a tension. I mean, Pastor John and I had a conversation even this morning about we're getting phone calls. We're getting, you know, are we going to sing? Should we sing? Do we shorten how much we sing? Do we stop singing? Do we wear masks when we sing? Do we sort of just mumble when we sing? All these kinds of questions that would have been absurd. Have you ever had a time in your life where you've had those kinds of questions before? Okay, so we struggle with them. We do the best we can with them, but do not deny the authority in the word of what God is saying to us. How we work it out with fear and trembling. But it's fear and trembling before him. So You have it in Psalm 95, you have it in Psalm 96, you have it in Psalm 97, you have it in Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song, verse 1. It says, make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets, with shouts of joy. You have it in Psalm 99, you have it in Psalm 100. You can go anywhere. There is this rejoicing and celebration in the victory that our worship is marked. The beauty of holiness always leads us into the beauty of worship and the beauty of singing. So we sing to express our faith and our love to the Lord, if you're following in your sermon notes. Like a mother singing a lullaby to a new baby, she is singing her love to her child. And we sing our love to the Lord, and the Lord sings his love to us, and we sing back in this relationship of intimacy with the Lord. We sing to give our hearts to God. It is a declaration of emotion, of joy, of remorse for sin, of awe. I mean, we can say, holy is the Lord. Or we can sing, holy, holy, holy. Whole different story, right? What is God worthy of? And we need to be expressing who he is. And our bodies are made as an instrument. Some of you haven't discovered that yet. You are a living instrument to God. And he has given you a diaphragm. And he has given you chords that are to be played for him. The beauty of singing. And we sing to give our hearts to God. And we sing to express new blessings and victories of our living Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the peoples. Isn't it wonderful that when we tell good news, we tell it in a happy way? When you give a present, it's not just the present. It was my oldest son Matthew's birthday yesterday. And so we send a present. But it's not just the present, it's how it's wrapped, right? The packaging tells you something about the present. We know this in marketing all the time whenever you go to the store. Well, how do we package the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's packaged in song. It's told in music. In the very story of eternal life is told in the means of life and of beauty and of love and of praise. So this is our God. We sing to express these new blessings and the victories of our living God, the greatness and the majesty of who he is that only music can express. Singing is a potent weapon of the church. Please don't let anyone take it from you, whether you sing in the shower or you sing at home or you sing when you're walking down the street or you sing as you're going into an operation or whether you sing in your car or whether you sing with a mask or without a mask or wherever you are that you are singing. It is a potent weapon for the Lord. King Jehoshaphat, he was facing armies, and it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21, that when it came to the battle, he went and they sought the Lord, and God told them to appoint singers to the praise and the beauty of his holiness. Now, when you're going into battle and you're thinking of fighting an enemy, most of us, I'm sure, are generals in our army, aren't thinking about the beauty of God's holiness. They're thinking about military strategy, thinking about how many people we have, how we should situate them, how we engage the enemy. And God said, no, the first step is you need to understand the beauty of my holiness. Because compared to the beauty of my holiness, all the might and all the powers of darkness cannot stand. And in the battle, you start with the vision of the beauty of who God is in his holiness. And then he said he appointed singers. And these singers were to lead the army. And they led the army forward as they advanced toward the enemy. That's our part. Whenever we come to worship, we are God's leading point of his army. Whenever we worship, we are declaring to the enemy, the holiness of Almighty God is coming. Back off. Now, what happened when they started singing? It says in verse 22, if you turn to it in 2 Chronicles 20, it says, as they began to sing and to praise, something amazing happened. See, they did their part. Their part was to ascribe to the Lord the beauty of his holiness. Their part was to worship him. Their part was to sing and to praise. But then in verse 22, it says, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah. There are invasions coming into Hawaii. There are spiritual invasions coming into our families and our neighborhoods. There are invasions coming into our schools. There are invasions coming into the way people think in their minds. Praise God for sound minds in the Word. But if we are going to stand against those, it begins when we understand that our job is to gaze upon the beauty and the holiness of God, to worship him, to sing and to praise, and then God sets the ambushes. And he deals with the enemy. And when they got there, when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert, looked toward the vast army, verse 24, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. Do not underestimate the power of singing, the power of praise, and the reason that God has put singing and praise in the very crux of what we do when we worship. It is our warfare. We sing to express the blessings and the victories of our living Lord. And we fight against demonic forces. We fight against strongholds, and we fight with the angels of God. So stir your heart in courage. The beauty of singing, we sing to lead all of creation in glorifying God. We were made as the pinnacle of creation. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the, let's say it together, all the earth. Well, we are the choir directors. We are the orchestra directors of all of creation. And we are there to point and to lead all of creation to the glory and the beauty of God. And so the praise is to begin in us. But all of heaven sings. Now all of creation is called to sing. Remember, your bodies are instruments made to praise God. Are you using your instrument? Some of you know that my daughter-in-law is a professional singer. And she did videos to help the church where they're worshiping and in terms of how to do vocal exercises. She's been doing them ever since she was three. She was trained by the same vocal coach as Barbara Streisand and all these, her whole life, that's how she's been trained. And when she goes to sing, she won't sing unless she has warmed up for 2 hours. She warms up all the time. And she will say, you are God's instrument. How are you treating the instrument that God has given you to sing? And a lot of us think, oh, that's not my gift. That's for someone else. No, it is your gift because he's made you an instrument. You may be a little different instrument from someone else besides you, but you've got to use it. And here the Lord wants us to lead all of creation in glorifying God. It says the sea creatures, And you know, there's all kinds of music in the oceans. The whales sing, even the seals bark, and the dolphins chatter and talk. There's music even under the ocean and in the ocean. You have the crashing of the waves and the cymbals as they pound on to the rocks and the grounds. You have the fields. Have you ever been to a field at night? There is music. You have the crickets and you have the frogs and you've got everything singing and making music. Ever been outside just before dawn and you can hear the birds? It's remarkable. It's beautiful. It says even the trees will sing. Let the heavens rejoice, verse 11. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest, they will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. We have one of the places we like to hike is the Ayer Loop Trail. When you go up Ayer Loop Trail, there's a place where we call it the singing trees. Because it's windy up there. And the trees have, they're close, and when it's windy, the trees, they knock each other. And they're like giant chimes. Bong, bong, bong. It's amazing. And the forest is alive, singing. Even trees are made, but we lead the procession because we are those who have been saved and made in the image of God, the Most Holy One. The beauty of singing. Would you sing for joy and sing for the Lord, whatever way, whatever context, wherever you are? Make that an expression of your heart to God. And if you've got a really bad voice, sing all the louder. If you have no voice, and that's my problem, because often my voice is my weak spot, and when I get tired, I lose my voice. I have no voice. But whenever I have a voice, that voice exists to give glory to God. While you have voice, while you have strength, use it to sing for Jesus, okay? The beauty of worship. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Let's say that together. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. And then there's a third one. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. The beauty of worship is a response to the character and the beauty of God that we're going to see in a minute in his holiness. And so we proclaim God's salvation to the world with singing. Day after day after day. When you've been saved, when you've been rescued, when you've been drowning and lifted up and given new life, when you've been sinking down into the pit of sin, when you've had the chains of the enemy wrapped around you, and you are in no hope and you are helpless, and God releases and frees you and heals you and redeems your life, there is no other response that we can have than to worship and praise God and to glorify him. How can we not worship the God who has sent his only son to die on the cross for us? How can we not worship the God who came into the ugliness of a world and took all of that upon himself and became despised by men in order that we would know the beauty of heaven and of salvation and even the beauty of the Holy Spirit in our lives? So we ascribe to him, we give back to him, and we proclaim salvation to the world with singing, God has saved me. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, he lives. You ask me how, I know he lives.
He lives within my heart.
We proclaim salvation to the world. It's available. It's available to all who come. We declare God is worthy of our praise and our worship. Verse 4, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. God is worthy of the effort to worship. God is worthy of the cost to worship. God is worthy of the risk to worship. God is worthy of the time to worship. God is worthy of the battles that take place in our lives and the prioritizing and the scheduling it is for us to worship. God is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our praise. He is holy. There is nothing evil in him. There is no lie in him. There is no deceit in him. There is no ugliness in him. He is worthy of whatever it takes for you to worship. And so it says in verse 4, he is to be feared above all gods. No fear of anything, anybody, any place, any time is to be above the fear of God, because that is called idolatry in the Bible. And you'll see this further on. Idolatry is when we seek someone other than God or something other than God, and we give our worship and we give our attention and we fear. Now, in idols, for idolatry, we are running a very close, this is not a judgment, but I think we have to consider that we do not make our health an idol. We do not make our physical health an idol. When you would go to an idol, you would go and you would give an offering to the idol that he would heal you, that he would cure you, that he would protect you, that he would keep you safe. And it says very clearly in Scripture that we are to fear nothing above God. And what we should fear is not giving God our worship. You see, I don't tremble as much about the fear of going to church. I tremble the fear of more of staying away and what that will mean. And as a pastor, we struggle with these things. I tremble at the thought of offending the living, holy God and not ascribing to him what he is worthy of because we are afraid of something else. I'm terrified. And I tremble of breaking the word of God and of disobeying what he has called us to do and leading God's people into disobedience of that. We tremble before him. Now, Satan said, we don't tremble. Martin Luther said, we don't tremble before Satan. He's got all his forces and his foes, and he says, we tremble not for him. But we do tremble in our worship because we ascribe, Lord, you are the one worthy. You are the one deserving. You are the one that has made us, and you are the one. You are the reason we live and we exist and we even have breath today. And if it's the last breath I have, I want to ascribe it to you. I want to live it for you. I want to give it to you because you are worthy. our worship, we declare the worthiness of God in our praise and our worship. He is a great God. And we fear God above all things, and we are careful not to allow the fear of anything else to stop us from following God. It may be relationships, it may be financial things, it may be cultural norms, it may be sickness, whatever it is, yes, we are wise and we are creative and we are free in what we do and how we do it, but we ascribe to the Lord the glory to his name. And we give back to God for all things that are beautiful. Ascribe means to give credit. God, you get the credit. You get the credit for my health. You get the credit for my family. You get the credit for my bank account. You get the credit for my job. You get the credit for our home. You get the credit for the church. You get the credit for the ministries. You get the credit for all the beauty of Hawaii. You get the credit for everything I've ever seen or done or been experienced to or exposed to. Lord, you get the credit for all things that are beautiful because they come from you. You're the source of it. You're the glory. You're the strength. In our family, we sing for when we sing grace at our meals. And I would encourage you to sing. Choose a hymn. Make it. Our family has a signature hymn, and by that I'm meaning my siblings, my brothers and my sisters, and then all of the cousins. And when the extended family gathers and we say grace, this is sort of our family hymn, and we sing it as grace. Praise the Savior, ye who know him, who can tell how much we owe him. Gladly let us render to him all we are and have. Jesus is the name that charms us. He for conflict fits and arms us. Nothing moves and nothing harms us when we trust in him. Trust in him, ye saints, forever. He is faithful, failing never. Neither life nor death can sever those who trust in him. There's one more I'm going to skip, and then this is a tongue twister. Whew, soon we shall be where we would be. Soon we shall be what we should be. Things that are not now nor could be soon shall be our own. Okay, you give it. Praise the Savior. Because he owns it all. And nothing, neither death nor life, nothing hinders that. Are you singing in your worship? Are you ascribing to him what belongs to him and putting this life in context to the holiness and the eternal life that he has given us in Jesus Christ? The beauty of worship. We give back to God all things beautiful. And finally, the beauty of holiness. He will judge the world in righteousness, Psalm 96, verse 13. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. Would you read that with me, please? He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. God's holiness is surpassing splendor. Now, I did five different word studies in the Hebrew, and my Hebrew is not very good, on beauty. And worship the Lord in the beauty or in the splendor of holiness. It's a word just used to describe the glory and the beauty of God. Now, there's other words where it talks about the glory of God that just deal with the glory aspect of God. You've got all these words coming like a diamond of different aspects describing how beautiful God is. There's a separate word in Scripture that describes the beauty of a woman or of a person. And that's the one that we see in Peter. There it talks about the beauty of a gentle, quiet, godly, Holy Spirit of a woman. There's all these words to describe beauty. Here, God's holiness is surpassing. It is surpassing splendor, the description of who God is. So in verse 3, you have declare his glory among the nations. In verse 7, ascribe to the Lord, glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord, verse 8, glory do his name. And we see the splendor in verse 6 again. Splendor and majesty, or beauty and majesty, are before him. And then again in verse 9, worship the Lord in the beauty or the splendor of his holiness. We all know the passage, I hope you do, in Isaiah chapter 6. In the king that year Uzziah, that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And there was the glory of the Lord. And there were the seraphims, the angels of fire. And these angels of fire had six wings. You remember how it goes? With two, they covered their feet. With two, they covered their face. So masks may not be that unbiblical after all. We'll see. And with two, they flew. Even the angels of fire, fire that purifies from all things, could not stand before the glory of God without covering their face and covering their feet in perfect humility. And as they flew, what did they cry out? Holy, holy, holy. Can we say that? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Let's try it again. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And Isaiah's response, he fell on his face. Whoa. If the angels can't gaze upon the glory of God, how can we even be in his presence? Oh, the wonder and the splendor and the beauty of the blood of Jesus, who covers our sin completely and totally and transforms us and washes us so that we can come into the presence of God and worship him in the beauty of his holiness. There is no greater honor or privilege that can be conceived or thought of or imagined or given as a gift to you than the privilege of worshiping the Lord in the beauty and the splendor of his holiness. God's holiness is of surpassing splendor. In Psalm 133, it talks about the beauty of perfect unity, how beautiful it is when brothers dwell together in unity. And God knows our homes and our families and our communities and our churches, we are always struggling with conflict. We're always struggling with trying to reconcile and heal and put relationships right. But the beauty of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit who live together in perfect unity. And then when they come, and God comes and he brings healing and reconciliation and the power of our holy God to bear in our lives, in our world. What a beautiful thing. Causes worship. Christ's holiness, he comes and he judges in righteousness. There is a beauty to all holiness. We cleansed the campus yesterday. We not only sanitized, but we washed and we wiped and we cleaned and we pulled weeds and we dusted and we blew. We took all the blowers on the campus and we pushed away all the dirt and we did about everything we could. They were scrubbing the gym floor with a scrubber. I mean, everything. There's something beautiful when things are clean, when things are pure. There's a safety. There's a joy there that comes. And when we describe the Lord, we enter into his holiness and the beauty that comes in his perfect purity. You can absolutely trust God. There is no deceit in anything that he says, any word that he says. With man, with all of us, hey, we struggle all the time. But with God, no. With his word, you can totally trust what he says. He's completely dependable in every way. And Jesus comes to judge in righteousness. His judgment is beautiful. Because when he judges, he says, hey, that's dirty. Let's clean that away and let's polish it up. Let's make it look right. When he judges, he is perfectly able to identify what is true from what is false, what is good from what is bad, what is beautiful from what is ugly. And he comes and he brings in his judgment, his person and his power to remove that which was evil and of death and of sin and to bring in life and eternity and power by his presence. Christ's holiness judges in righteousness. You want to see the judgment of Jesus if you know Jesus. Because he is purifying us and he will continue that which he started in us and make us holy as he is holy. You do not want to see the judgment of Jesus if you don't know Jesus. Because then all there is our life apart from Christ to be judged. But as God's people, we say, come, Lord Jesus, you come and you judge this world. Lord, you clean out. You clean out the sickness. You clean out the disease. You clean out the sin. You clean out the rebellion. You clean out the violence. You clean out the war. You clean out all the strategies and the schemes of Satan. You come and judge it and clean it up, Lord, in your holiness. That's why we long when we shout together, the Lord reigns. Can we say that? The Lord reigns. And we shout that. Not only as the truth of Jesus on the throne of God, but as a proclamation of faith of his coming judgment. The Lord reigns. Christ's holiness, he judges in righteousness. When Jesus, when the disciples, they just saw Jesus as a man and they ate with him and walked with him and talked with him. But there was one time when they saw him glorified, his transfiguration. They went up on the mountain and the three disciples, they saw Jesus and his raiment was white. It was spotless. It was so white that it was like brighter than anything any cleaning job could do on his gown. And it says he was in glorious beauty and splendor. Some people say we don't know what God looks like, and I think that that's true in an absolute sense, but we have a taste of it in Revelation chapter 1 with words. If words can begin to cover color and sound and music and power and all the other things. And here we have the picture of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, verses 14 through to 17, as John tries desperately to communicate what it was to see the living Lord. And I turned around to see a voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the seven lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. And his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire, and his feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. Wow. And in his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. And his face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. That's our Lord, who we worship today. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. God's holiness is surpassing splendor, and Christ's holiness judges in righteousness, and the Spirit's holiness makes our worship beautiful. You know, we say, how can we worship in front of such a holy God? Well, God has sent his Holy Spirit to make our worship beautiful. Isn't that nice of God? Isn't that nice of God? I don't have a voice to sing for him. I don't have words to sing for him. But the Holy Spirit comes and he translates my singing so that it's beautiful to God. And he translates my offering so it's beautiful to God. And he translates my worship and my thoughts so they're beautiful to God. And the Lord changes us and makes us beautiful as a church together. Says he's purifying his bride. And the most beautiful thing you will ever see, I believe, in heaven, other than Jesus and his face, will be the bride of Christ. Nothing will compete with Christ's bride in beauty, in splendor, in glory, except the bridegroom, our Savior Jesus. You know, I've Bible talks about us being clothed in white robes in Revelation, our character being cleansed, talks about filling our minds with what is pure and the things of Jesus, having the mind of Christ, talks about our relationships being healed and bonded by the blood of Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I've been thinking a lot, I've been praying for Rod Urbano, what a wonderful leader and man. And as he's with his mom, and she's approaching the beauty, the splendor of heaven. Bible tries to describe the gates made out of pearl and the streets. I don't know how you do that. How do you describe a rainbow to someone that's blind? And yet his mom is literally, maybe she's gone, maybe she's at that point. But I can imagine that right now they are singing to her. And they don't really care if they're in tune. They don't really care if it's perfect or if they forget a few words. They don't really care if they cry with it. They're just singing to her. I think that's how God is. And I bet she is there soaking it up. And in one ear, there's the singing of her family. And in the other, there's the singing of the angels. Holy Spirit comes to make us beautiful. Can we stand? Let's stand before the splendor of his holiness. Holy Spirit, that's your name. You are holy. You are so much more beautiful than we can ever imagine. And you come to bring your truth and your love and your comfort and your strength and your beauty, and you come to put it in us. God, we are so sorry. We are so sorry for when we've not reflected your beauty. And Lord, we are so grateful that you give it as a gift in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask you right now to cover our ugliness and to cover our sin in the name of Jesus and to remove it, that the beauty of your holiness would rest upon us in our families, Lord, in our singing, Father, in our worship, in our struggles, Father, in this church, that the beauty of your holiness would cover us and it would grow from splendor to splendor and glory to glory as we behold the face of our Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Everyone said, amen.
Thank you for joining Face to Face, a radio ministry of Kalihi Union Church. Connect with us at kalihiunion.org or 841-7022. Come join us. We are committed to loving God, loving people.
It's making my heart brand new. Fill me with love and truth till I finally see.